Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Jeff Joniak, the voice of your Chicago Bears.
Justin takes a knee one more time, runs to the north end zone. They all belly flop into the end zone like little kids on the playground. During a rainstorm, just having fun.
Second and five of the 33. Blitz on, and Fields going to run up the middle. He'll get nearly, let's call it the 34-yard line on a run by Justin Fields, and that is the yard that gets him to 1,000 yards rushing in a single season. He is only the third quarterback in NFL history to accomplish that. Lamar Jackson has done it twice. Michael Vick did it as well in 2006. Congratulations, Justin Fields.
Jeff Joniak, you are ridiculous.
Mully at Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Always a delight to talk to our dear friend Jeff Joniak. A lot of years under the belt with Jeff, and he joins us now on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Jeff, today is 2-3-23. It is a time to remember Michael Jordan, and we certainly do remember that. Some great years covering the Bulls back in the day.
Oh, we certainly did. Wow. You know, that's when I really got to know the real Mike Mulligan.
Oh, boy. That is a horrible reality.
And what a great guy he is. William A. Finnegan S.J. Memorial Award winner. Congratulations.
How about that?
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. But those MJ days, it was literally like traveling with the Beatles, and you did more of the traveling. I only came along in the postseason, but some great memories. One of my favorites was before they went to Detroit to try and upend the Pistons, that game at Chicago Stadium. There was a thick haze in the building, and Michael put his team on his back, as he always did. And I remember driving home under the L tracks on Lake Street because the traffic was so bad. And I was in tears because I was moved by that performance. I could not believe what I witnessed. And it happened more than once, just when you think about it. Just dramatic. Awesome time.
Great memories, Jeff.
Yeah.
And tomorrow you might be in the midst of another one. You're calling the Senior Bowl for XM Radio. Great honor to have the voice of the Bears in Mobile, Alabama for this occasion. Great testament to your talent, Jeff. I just wonder, in all your preparation, have you practiced Max Duggan, you are ridiculous?
No, the ridiculous is put away a long time
ago.
Until Devin gets in the Hall of Fame, then we can resurrect it. But no, that was it. You know, that's custom built for Devin, you know, because that's just raw emotion. So we haven't seen anybody come around that way. But there are some very interesting talents in this game. And, you know, it's always one that you hope to see some really good quarterback play. Last year, five of the six that did play actually took NFL snaps last season. So you can't discount that at all. These guys are going to find their way on rosters for sure. But in terms of star talent at the quarterback position, no, he's the biggest name, though. Heisman runner-up and out of Texas Christian. He's had something to prove as well after that performance in the championship game. But the guy loves football, and he does have some really interesting talents, as do a couple of other guys. Jake Haner is an underdog. If you're looking for those from Fresno State, he'll be on the national team. This guy's got grit to him. and just watch the UCLA game in 2021, and you'll get to see what he's all about as well.
You know what's fun is being able to kind of catch up with the idea that the Bears are down there and they got a little insight, right? The idea that Luke Getsy is a coach of the team. You know, I was reading earlier in the week that he was having these practices that were a different pace than the other team, and he was doing a lot of teaching. I think that's really important to get his sense of how these guys learn, of what you can, you know, they've discovered players down there, and with the extra insight, maybe they discover something else. So it's a real advantage, I think, for the Bears this year.
Well, you can look a guy in the eye and see what he's all about in his chest as well, that heart, right. See if what he's got. But, yeah, I mean, typically the scouts and the general managers, they'd like to see as many reps as possible because they want to evaluate everybody and set the teaching aside for another day. But, you know, take the opportunity, do what you have to do. And the interesting thing about this game is that it's just not two teams with their entire staffs and their entire support staff. It is a mix of 16 different teams just thrown together. And I always find that, you know, Mike, you have a favorite word. You always use the word fascinating. It's fascinating to me that you could, on a week's notice, basically, I mean, there's some prep involved, but you get the collective minds of all these assistant coaches, and they put together a practice plan, and it looks like football. From all these guys, parts unknown, without your typical support staff. I mean, we're talking about everything from trainers to video guys shooting practice. So it's going to be an interesting week. It has been an interesting week. It should be an interesting game as well.
Beyond that, I think Luke Getsy's career is enhanced because of the contacts he can make and the impression he can leave from head coaching experience. It is just an all-star game, but he is now the guy that gets in front of a team, and he's being watched, Jeff. And I think when you look at his evolution as an assistant coach, we asked a question early in the week, can Luke Getsy become a head coach before the Bears get to the playoffs? Do you think that's conceivable, or does one have to come with the other?
I think one has to come with the other unless there's something really special about the guy, and there very well could be, because he did impress in his interviews last year. I was told that, and he really commanded that interview process. So this is a huge step for him, and it, with all these other assistants from other teams coming along, you know, you start putting your book together as a potential head coach, right? Who's going to be on my staff? And it's not just friends, it's people. And, you know, I always hate the idea you bring along your friends, because that's the worst thing you can do. You bring around the best assistant coaches you can possibly find and put them on your staff. You got to be like-minded, of course, same scheme, same thinking, but, you know, don't be afraid to get guys that haven't worked with you before, and now you're getting exposed to all these different coaches. So I think it's all about playoffs. Those are the guys that get most of the recognition. And so I'm glad there's not a big upheaval on the Bears staff, in particular that position. You can't keep making changes at the offensive coordinator position and expect development consistently from your quarterback.
Yeah, and the other element here is the Bears have a ton of money in free agency. So you're down there, you're looking at players, you've got your guy, your coordinator, he knows what he's looking for in different players. It's a really nice advantage. You also can figure out what the depth of different positions are. You know, you got to know the draft, and you got to know if you need to go into free agency to get a player or two, and they certainly will be getting, I hope, three or four starters out of free agency. Then you can kind of balance your draft around that, and then you can get back in the market after the fact as well.
100%. And I've told David this the other day. I'm tunnel vision here. I'm just looking at the line of scrimmage right now. I'm not looking at anybody else in terms of really significant analysis. Pass rushers, interior defensive linemen, offensive linemen. That's where I have to be focused on, because as we're seeing in the playoffs, we're seeing in NFL history, if you can't do it in the trenches, you're not going to do it, period. So that has to be reinforced in every way possible. There are strengths in this particular game and in the draft with the defensive line, edge rushers.
Right.
The offensive line position, there's some mammoth people in there. I know the Bears want to be on their feet quick and be able to move with some speed. So you got to sift through that in terms of what they're looking for. But and the tight end position is also one of great strength, running back position. So these are potential places down the line in the draft that you could potentially get a starter out of this Senior Bowl class, let alone what we're going to see at the Combine.
because there are mammoth holes on the Bears' depth chart, Jeff. I think when you talk about the needs that exist to fill them in the draft, yes, free agency. I wonder, do you expect the Bears to go into free agency prioritizing the things you just described? Don't they have to, even though the skill position is what everybody wants for Justin Fields, even though there might be a shiny new Saquon Barkley there in free agency? Don't you have to stay disciplined if you're Ryan Poles and start to build from the ball on out?
100%. I think it's a conversation ender if you don't. You have to. That is the only way to start this process here in 2023 and beyond. And I think he is quite understanding of that as a former offensive lineman. His eyes are definitely at the line of scrimmage. And that's what you have to do. And I know there's shiny new pieces that you'd love to add. But what I don't want, and I know he's discussed this many times, just don't force anything. You know, there might not be some great receivers out there in free agency or in this draft that you can get because you have other needs. So don't force it and overinvest in something that, you know, may not pan out the way you want it.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think that I've been saying to David, I thought, Jeff, that it was a bad thing for the Bears when the salary cap went up, 8%, because it would mean teams had more money. And the fear is that a guy like Darren Payne, for instance, from the Commanders, he's 25 years old, he's 320 pounds, he's a good interior lineman. Is he going to be available, right? Do they have more money now to prevent guys like that from hitting the free agent market? That's what worries me a little.
It's a fair analysis there. It worries me, too, because I'd love to have that guy in navy blue and orange for sure. Yep. And there's going to be a bunch of other guys. But, again, you know, just be disciplined, and I think he has been very transparent about that, and he will be. Just because you have it doesn't mean you're going to spend it all. You can't invest all of it in just one big chunk to one guy. While one guy can make a difference at that position on the defensive line, hey, look at what Detroit did in the draft last year. They drafted three defensive linemen. They had to wait on one in James Houston and became a sudden star, Aiden Hutchinson, Pascal, and you just developed a whole unit in one draft, not to mention now what they can do and continue building. They managed to put together a very nice season up there in Detroit. So just stick to your gut instincts here on how you want to build this thing. He says he's draft-driven. He does have the assets financially, but it has to be pick and choose and know where you want to put it. You got, as David pointed out, that there are many, many holes on this team, and it's position-wide.
Jeff, nobody studies the league like you do, so I know you have an opinion or a thought on Vic Fangio going to the Dolphins as their defensive coordinator, the highest-paid assistant coach in the league now, $4.5 million per year, and that's more, based on the information we could gather, than half of the head coaches in the NFL. How do they justify that, and do you think it will be money well spent?
Well, if you got it, the one thing, there's no salary cap for coaches, right?
Right.
So why not? I love Vic. I think he's a premier defensive coordinator. He understands the game in a unique way, and he's patient with his guys to develop them. And so, yeah, happy for Vic. He was in high demand, apparently, so he could have gone anywhere he wanted to, frankly, the way it sounds.
Yeah.
No problem with it, actually.
I just think, you know, we were talking about it. You give up a first rounder for Sean Payton, a first round plus. They're swapping a second for a third. And then you got a guy like Vic getting paid like a head coach. I mean, there are a lot of head coaches out there that aren't making $4.5 million.
You think they're running to ownership right now?
I mean, seriously. and he's, you know, Vic is 64, I believe, right? So he's got a 3-year deal at that kind of money. It's an unbelievable, you know, he'll be left alone. I don't think that, got his own. McDaniel's going to do his thing, yell at the quarterback.
In Miami, he'll never shovel snow again.
No, he'll like that. He'll like that. You know, listen, what do you guys think of it? Honestly, I think there's nothing wrong with it at all. And that's the way Vic rolls. Leave it to me. I'll handle this. You handle your stuff. I don't need to be bothered with anything right now. I got this under control. So, and he's been a head coach. He's got that experience now. So he's got a little more cachet rolling in to that locker room in Miami.
Jeff, I think that we're headed toward the next phase of this, the next extension of this conversation is you saw the Broncos give up the draft capital for Sean Payton. you're going to see a team at some point in time give up a draft pick for a coordinator. Because if you value assistant coaches to this degree, at some point in time, your capital is not just going to be the money because there is no cap. You're going to give up a pick for a guy who might have been fired or left the team but still under contract, and that will be the case if you want him badly enough.
It won't be broad scope, though, because you know those picks are just too valuable. But, yeah, I didn't really realize how many times it's happened already. I think five or six times now that draft picks have gone for head coaches over the course of the NFL. In recent vintage, anyway, you know, the one that pops for me is the Gruden one that got them to a Super Bowl win in Tampa Bay. You make a great point, especially offensive coordinators. Let's be honest; those are the hardest ones to find. To me, offensive coordinators are the most stubborn of all football coaches. They close their door, they do their thing, and they sometimes, and I've experienced it, I've seen it. They don't want to hear anything from anybody else. They just want to do their thing. And if it's not going well, the adjustments are, you know, it's not really on them. It's on everybody else. I'm not painting everybody with a broad brush, but it's something that is of consideration. And teams go through them more than anything else. And I think that's what really hampers offensive development. And I know if you're fortunate to get a really good one, you hope to keep them for a serious length of time. Because the best quarterbacks, they're going to be the best quarterbacks anyway, but the Peyton Mannings and the Drew Breeses and these guys that stayed in one system for the bulk of their career, they reap the benefits for sure.
Jeff, I know you've all your focus has been on this game and getting your call right, and your preparation is legendary. I just wonder,
you guys are funny, man.
There ain't
no legend in my name. That's for damn sure.
Come on, we know.
But I appreciate it. Yeah, this is like 126 players, and there's multiple numbers. This is going to be a challenge now.
And the Northwestern kid's got a tough name to pronounce.
Oh my gosh, I love this kid. I texted Pat Fitzgerald yesterday. I said, "Hey, have you seen what he's been doing?" And he just gave me a short answer. Loves the kid, that's for sure. Some really, really good defensive play. But I'm going with Adi Adebare, so I'm not going with the whole first name. But he is – yesterday he drove – did you see this highlight at all?
No.
The Notre Dame kid, Patterson, he drove him into the middle of next week in one-on-ones.
Wow.
And it was – I didn't think I could ever see something like that. He's 6'1 and 5'8", 284, but he's got 34-inch arms and a wingspan of like 83. And he's just explosive off the line of scrimmage. I could see him being a three technique in a certain team.
So you're definitely monitoring as much as you're doing this. If you're looking at wingspan and you're looking at hand size or whatever,
you're a draft guy.
You're getting geared up for the NFL draft already.
Nick.
You're using this to feed what
of
you're
course.
Going to. It's great. It's wonderful.
It's saving me some time, actually.
Yes.
I would have never got to all this by now. No, it's a great
That's
honor
awesome.
To do it. I can't wait to do it. And I know there's not a lot of like a bunch of first rounders in this thing, but there'll be some top 50 players in here. I would say about 8 to 10, maybe 12. So it'll be good. I don't even know if these guys are going to play. That's the other thing too. You know, agents get involved before kickoff. Hey, you know, maybe you did a really good job this week. We're hearing you really improved your stock. How about you sit this one out? So I have no idea.
That's the whole idea. And as Molly pointed out earlier this week, it was the right way to look at this. These players may not be the top 10. This is the rank and file of the NFL in the future. These are the guys that are going to fill out rosters, play special teams, be five-year starters, have good careers, may not be the biggest names, but they will be big contributors.
100%. In this game last year, you got Braxton Jones. Even down the line, Sterling Weatherford, who's a really good special teams player, was on the Bears this year. You got Dominique Robinson as a fifth-round pass rusher you're hoping to develop. You got those guys out of there. There's a couple of more.
Bayless Jones.
Yeah, Bayless Jones, who was also on the sidelines watching practice next to Luke Getsy during the week.
He should be catching punts.
Maybe he was.
Oh, that's
maybe
beautiful.
Maybe he was a consultant in this game. I don't know. And of course, you've got some local products. Another guy, you know, Homewood Flossmoor's John Michael Schmitz. He's a center from Minnesota. He's going to be a plug-and-play starter in this league. He is about 6'4", 306, first-team All-American. He shined in this one, too. Once he got his hands on somebody, they weren't going anywhere. Very impressive player there. And then at the wide receiver position, as I look for my board here real quick, Jaden Reed out of Naperville Central. What an explosive route runner. He went to Michigan State, really impressive during the course of the week as well. So a couple of local guys, including the Northwestern guys. And Evan Hall from Northwestern is a little bowling ball. Not a little. He's 5'11", 214, but really good receiver.
Who? Yeah. He'll knock you over.
Oh, yeah, he's going to knock you over.
He's a good runner. He's a tough kid.
Yeah, and listen, I love football, so this is like
really?
catnip for me.
Couldn't tell, Jeff.
Yeah,
great stuff.
Hey, anyway.
Can't wait for the broadcast. We'll be listening. Really appreciate your time, Jeff.
Hey, again, congratulations, Mike. It's quite the honor as well.
Thank you, pal.
Keep up the good work, fellas. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Jeff.
That is Jeff Joniak. That is always fun to talk to Jeff. Man, back in the day, incredible. He remembers those Jordan stories. I told you, the one that got to me was that game, the shrug game, where they let him open and he was hitting the threes. And I was sitting there courtside and I'm looking at the phone and I swear to God, I was going to call the paper and just say, listen, you got to bring someone better than me out here. This is like a big deal.
Because you couldn't call them on your cell phone. So you're staring at the regular phone thinking,
we had the phone.
I need to call somebody to replace me because
I
can't possibly chronicle this.
I will never be able to meet this moment. That is what went through my head. I never made the call. Because,
and then you read the story the next morning and you shrugged.
Like, yeah.
How did I do that? I rose to the occasion.
You know what you do? You just get out of the way.
Get out of the way.
Tell the story.
Yep.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Charlotte's not even going to attempt a shot, and they shouldn't. And that's going to be the ball game. Bulls win. Bulls win. Bulls win. 114-98.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Yes, indeed, the Bulls. It's a delight to welcome in Cody Westerlund. He covers the Bulls. He's also the managing editor of 670 The Score, where you find all the great coverage. And it is a delight to welcome him, as we welcome all guests, to the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sportsbook. Cody, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Well, you know, we've been talking about it, and I think we are at as big a crossroads with the Bulls as the Bulls appear to be at a crossroads in their rebuild, whatever way you want to term it, their current construction. And you did a great job of breaking it down last week and trying to figure out what needs doing, what needs to be done here. A lot of one-way players, a lot of defensive liability, and certainly a dearth of shooting.
Yeah, and I think this team, Mully, thanks for the kind words on that piece. It's on 670score.com. I think the Bulls need to remake their identity somehow, and this trade deadline here that looms in 6 days is an opportunity to restart doing that. Like you mentioned, you can't be the team that doesn't have enough two-way players and then also doesn't have shooting. And look, the Bulls have outperformed their defensive expectations for this season, given the fact that they start Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Nikola Vucevic, guys who aren't generally considered even above average defenders. So they've actually been okay on that end, but it's certainly not even a good defense still. Like, no one gets mixed up with that. But you can't have that and then also be the team that's really just ISO and mid-range and runs through Vuce and DeMar in the high post here and there and not have that high-volume three-point shooting. So that's why, like you said, they're at a crossroads here, because I don't think you fix everything with this team, certainly with one trade deadline. I don't know that they can do it even with one entire offseason, but it's certainly a good opportunity here. It'll certainly be another good opportunity this summer, and we can't have any of these conversations without talking about Lonzo Ball's health. But I also think there are times we talk about Lonzo Ball's health too much, because the answer to this team ascending to a much, much higher level, where not just being a playoff contender, but being a team that can win a couple series in the playoffs, they need a lot more than just Lonzo to do that.
So around which Bulls player is there the most urgency to deal before the deadline, then? If you believe the rumors, there are teams lining up to talk about Zach LaVine. Obviously, DeMar DeRozan at 33, he's not getting any younger, and his value may be at its highest. And then there's the reality of Vooch, who runs out of contract at the end of this year, and you would hate to see him walk away and get nothing in return.
Yeah, Vooch is the one I'm looking at there, right? Like, we can break him down individually here a little bit. Zach LaVine, my problem with the Bulls trading him right now is I don't know that they'd be trading him at peak value because he has been inconsistent and had the lingering knee issues early in the season. And if you're half a 1 year into a 5 year contract, basically, and you flip him on $215 million mid-season, it's probably going to be to a team that's competing for a playoff berth or has big expectations, because those are usually the teams that are shopping for him. I don't know what they're going to give up by way of player capital because they still care so much about this year. I just think if Zach can have a good final 30 games and show he's really efficient, I think more options get opened up in the offseason if the Bulls were to want to look to trade Zach LaVine, just maybe get more player capital back, because then you ship out Zach LaVine, that team can replace the guys they trade, whether it's the draft, free agency, they'll have a training camp to get everyone together. Like, you got to keep in mind, anyone acquiring Zach LaVine and really DeMar DeRozan too is like significantly, or at least in a fair manner, changing the stylistic identity of their team probably in some ways this season as they chase a playoff berth. So that can be a little bit difficult in that sense. So Vooch is the name that you brought up. Obviously, if you don't have 100% or close to 100% confidence that he plans on re-signing in free agency, I think you got to flip him. But the other thing is, like, I just think flipping Vooch would go a long way to changing the identity of this team in some ways, because right now the Bulls have no rim protection. And while they have been, like, fairly aggressive in defending the pick and roll this year in how they blitz and how they come up high beyond the screen, like, Vooch getting stuck in one-on-one situations is something they want no part of. That's why you've seen, like, Derrick Jones Jr. for some long stretches play backup five, backup center for the Bulls, because they feel like they can switch one through five. So Vooch, even though he's having one of the best seasons of his career, I think his second highest shooting percentage of his career, he's been really good. He's been really consistent. But most teams in the NBA, building around a center as one of your key pieces is not something that you want to do unless their name's Joel Embiid or Nikola Jokic. So Vooch is neither of those, even though he's been good. So I think moving him, I don't think they'd take a huge hit right now in terms of winning either, because there would be enough opportunity to still go around of his offensive output to Zach and DeMar, and then I think getting more for Patrick Williams would be good. Like, that would be a key avenue to me. I don't know if they're going to do it. They don't seem set to make big moves, but it's something that needs to be on the radar. They need to be talking every single day and listen to offers if they're smart.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think when you say there's no use in talking about Lonzo Ball, the problem is you don't have a timeline. I mean, I said to David, is this guy coming back ever? I mean, and I'm not being mean about it. I just don't know that even if he comes back, how long do you have him? How chronic is the knee condition? It's just, there isn't even a timeline for his return.
I mean, it's bizarre. There's no doubt about that. And obviously, his father, LeVar, told the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast the other day that he's going to be fine eventually. Obviously, he couldn't put a timetable on that either. So, I mean, best case scenario here, it feels like, for the Bulls, right, is that, like, Lonzo can go through a fairly normal training camp ahead of the start of next season, and then you'd certainly, I think, would load manage him somehow, bake in not playing back-to-back, stuff like that. And even then, that's a difficult spot, right, because when you have someone in a $20 million a year salary slot, you want them to be available every single night, and if they're not, you're going to have to spend money behind them on the depth chart to fill in and just have insurance there. And the Bulls didn't do a good enough job getting insurance for Lonzo Ball this past offseason, with Goran Dragic really is their only big guard signing or addition in the backcourt in many ways, because Dalen Terry, they drafted him, but he just wasn't ready to play yet. Kind of a raw prospect here first year. So the Lonzo question hangs over the organization. I mean, I'm as stumped as everyone, as stumped as the doctors are, really, with the Bulls. And it's a fair question to ask. I know no one's going to believe anything from Lonzo, really, until we see him on the court, and that's just the unfortunate truth.
All right, Cody, let's go to tier two about available Bulls. So how does Alex Caruso's injury on Thursday night potentially affect his trade market, if at all? And the other two guys that I'm wondering if teams are calling about, Ayo Dosunmu had a big game. So did Kobe White. How do you prioritize those guys in terms of trade conversations?
Well, Caruso today will be important, certainly, if the Bulls get more news today, tomorrow, on Alex Caruso's foot sprain that he suffered last night when they beat the Hornets at the United Center. If it's a day-to-day thing, I don't think it affects his trade value much. If it's a couple weeks, it certainly can affect his trade value because, look, these teams that are going to get Alex Caruso that want him, again, playoff contenders, fighting for playoff seeding, that can be a very big deal to some of these teams as well. So they might be turned off a little bit, not add the extra in a trade offer to get him if they know he's going to miss a few games to start. So that matters. I like how Coby White's played. I mean, he had 20 points last night, but I said this a few times. It feels like he's been making more winning plays this year and affecting the game more on a night-to-night basis, more than he has in the past, and usually more than Io has, really, I feel like. Now, the difficult part is, like, you can't just plug Coby in as the starting point guard. We've seen that movie before a couple of years ago, and it didn't work at all. So I like his role on the team. With restricted free agency coming, I believe the Athletics reported that the Bulls have turned down trade offers even recently for Coby White, and I know dating back to last summer they did as well. So they've liked to see what they have in him, and really I think part of it might be, like, besides Zach LaVine, he's their only high-volume three-point shooting guy who has the chance to get hot from behind the arc and affect a game in many ways other than just standing and spotting up. So Io's an interesting one, right? Like, he's been the wonderful homegrown story, but if you're going to choose between keeping Coby and Io, who are both set for restricted free agency, and neither's going to get a lot of money, but it's still a small little chunk of money for a team that'll probably be operating over the cap and such, like, maybe you do flip him for someone you like a little bit more in your rotation if there's a team out there. So he hasn't been a name that's been talked about much at all. But if you look at it through a common sense standpoint, if you're only going to have one of Io or Coby next year and you can get more for Io right now, like, I mean, he could be a dark horse trade candidate because, I mean, selfishly had a really good game last night, but he's not the high volume 3-point shooting guy Coby is.
And when you talk about the offseason, there isn't a lot of money, as you mentioned. What draft picks do they have? The pick conveys, unless it's top four, the 1-2 on Vooch, right, to the Orlando Magic. And then I believe there's a Portland pick, but that only conveys if it's not top 14. Is that it? I get confused.
You nailed it, Molly. Right now the Bulls are set with no first-round draft picks because if the season ended today, the Trailblazers would be the 12th worst team in the NBA. So that pick would not convey. So what Bulls fans need is for the Trailblazers to kind of get in those final eight teams and work their way into the end of the playoff mix in the West. And then the Bulls could get a pick that, you know, maybe around 15, 16, 17, 18, something like that. That would be very helpful. And again, unless the Bulls get really lucky in the draft lottery, they're probably not going to have their own first round pick because they only get it, like you said, if it's top four in the draft, which would take the lottery balls going their way in that. So it's a little bit of a difficult situation there, no doubt. And we know the Bulls don't have a lot of second-round draft capital coming up these years either. They forfeited one in the Lonzo Ball tampering investigation and have added a few more in trades throughout the course of the year.
Quickly, Cody, basketball question. Andre Drummond did something last night, getting a double-double in 15 minutes that nobody had done since Chocolate Thunder, Daryl Dawkins in 1979. Why has Andre Drummond fallen out of the rotation, and will a night like last night get him back in it?
I think it's because he's not able to switch very well in pick and roll situations, and Billy Donovan has liked Derrick Jones Jr.'s versatility in a lot of matchups lately, and he thinks Derrick Jones Jr. gets him out in transition, more defensive versatility, but then the flip side is the Bulls get beat up on the boards. And if Derrick Jones Jr. has a rough matchup, I mean, it might not matter. You might not get a chance to get the rebound if they get the ball in the low block. So I do think after that game last night, Andre Drummond will get a little bit longer leash on playing time. He certainly played really, really well last night. I'm not on, like, I know our guy Casey Johnson loves Andre Drummond playing and thinks he should play all the time. I kind of like Derrick Jones Jr. at the backup five, but Drummond has certainly earned a little bit more playing time here because he affected the game in a big way last night, and the Bulls bench hasn't been consistent enough lately to do that regularly. And he's a guy who, in the context of being coming off the bench, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th man, he has the ability to affect a game a little bit.
Great stuff, Cody. Really appreciate it, man. A lot of really good information.
Thanks,
appreciate
Cody.
It. Yep. You guys take care.
And he's on, he was on Twitch with us.
The whole time.
Yeah, I would have called it up.
Yeah, he did a nice job.
Yeah, he was great. That's really
good
stuff.
He does a terrific job covering that team.
Yes, he does.
He explains it well. And I think his perspective is right on, even though I am with KC, though, on the Andre Drummond thing. I think he's got to play more.
Well, I mean,
you got to play him more.
I mean, there could be a guy being moved here very shortly
that
would open up a spot for him to play more.
The season isn't where it is because they haven't played Andre Drummond more.
Exactly.
I don't want to overstate that. It's just a guy that I respect the way that he approaches things. That's all.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Next thing that's very important to me is that we build a smart football team. That we have a smart football team here. And I know we have the people in place to do that. The first part of that, the first part of being smart is knowing what to do.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. Was that the introductory news conference?
Yeah, I think so.
That's Nick Sirianni with what is arguably one of the worst introductory news conferences. He came in and they introduced him in Philadelphia. And honest to God, it was like he had never stood in front of a group of people. And part of knowing what to do, that's how you be smart about, I mean, just this doublespeak, this... It was a disaster.
And that was only 2 years ago.
And now look at him. He's in the Super Bowl.
In his second season.
Incredible.
First season got to the playoffs. Second season got to the Super Bowl. Who saw that one coming?
Well, I mean, not Julian Love, that's for sure.
No.
I wonder, David, when you think about Nick Sirianni and you think about this game, is he at a disadvantage because Andy Reid has been around forever? Andy has gone through pretty much anything you can go through in football, and he's also won. He's had Andy had four or five NFC championships in a row, made one Super Bowl while in Philadelphia, and they did not win it. And Andy gets to Kansas City, and they get the quarterback, and lo and behold, Andy wins a Super Bowl. Now here's a chance to win a second one, but he's facing a really well-balanced team. He's lost receivers. His quarterback's injured. There's just a lot weighing on this.
My answer is kind of conditional and certainly not clear-cut. I don't think that the Super Bowl is going to be decided coach versus coach.
Right.
Seldom does it ever come down to that. If it did... The Eagles have a decided advantage, as I think most teams in the league would against the Eagles, with due respect. Second-year head coach, I know that you give him credit for the offensive scheme and such, and that's fair. But I think when the Eagles against the Chiefs, and you measure that, the roster of the Eagles, with the exception of maybe two positions, the roster of the Eagles overwhelmingly has the advantage over the Chiefs, except for the quarterback and the tight end, which might be enough for the Chiefs to overcome that. Granted, because you're talking about two Hall of Fame caliber players in Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. So I guess what I'm saying is that I don't know if Nick Sirianni not being the kind of coach that can measure up to Andy Reid matters when you have an advantage the way the Eagles do on the roster. At both sides of the line of scrimmage, their weapons are good enough, their defense is fierce enough. I don't know if you can drive this one into the ditch if you're a bad head coach or make wrong decisions. This is a team, I think, that is built to win now, and I think will end up being the team that celebrates the Super Bowl championship a week from Sunday.
The 22 guys that started the season are available in the Super Bowl. That's one thing. They come at you with waves of defensive linemen. And, I mean, they have, like, two complete defensive lines. So they come at you with fresh linemen all the time. They got a couple of really good ones. They got four guys on the roster that are in double digits in sacks. It's extraordinary. Hey, you know, Robert Quinn's going to be in the Super Bowl. It's extraordinary how many guys they can run at you on that side of the ball. And they got Pro Bowls all over the field, and their offensive line is fantastic.
Robert Quinn will be in the Super Bowl. Hassan Reddick may dominate the Super Bowl.
He's
phenomenal. That good.
Oh, he's great.
And he's playing that well. So back to the coaches in terms of the relative value and what are they worth. Every case is different, but in the Eagles, I don't know. I think Nick Sirianni is very fortunate. He's worked hard to put himself in that position to be hired, but he's been fortunate that he took over a team that was very complete. Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman fell out of favor for reasons I still don't understand.
Yeah,
I don't know if we've ever had that fully
explained. Yeah.
Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl 3 years later. He's gone.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Gone.
I know.
So I don't
know. And they've rebuilt that team.
And
there's still some remnants of it, but they, you know, he's gone, and he's done a great job in Jacksonville. He tells
you how head coach.
Good he is as a head coach.
So I think with Sirianni, this conversation we have about what the value of a coach is, it depends on the roster. But you look at, you know, they paid him, according to NBC Sports Boston, that had this kind of survey and story at the beginning of the football season, Nick Sirianni makes between $6 and $7 million.
Are you kidding me?
As the head coach.
That's insane.
It seems insane.
I don't think that's accurate. I would think that's wrong.
He's ranked 12th on the NBC Sports Boston's ranking of head coaches' salaries. And at the time they did this, Cliff Kingsbury, who's celebrating somewhere in Thailand still, was making $5.5 million, 13th in the league. The point of this survey in the context of our conversation is Vic Fangio, which was just hired as the defensive coordinator of the Dolphins at $4.5 million a year, that would make him commensurate in salary to Zach Taylor of the Bengals.
That's unbelievable.
Which is 16th in the league.
Yeah.
So about middle of the pack. There are probably, we have to estimate because they don't have to report the head coach's salaries, but Vic Fangio as the defensive coordinator of the Dolphins makes more than half of the head coaches in the National Football League. That's crazy.
Well,
and yet it's probably worth it if you are the Dolphins. There is no cap, and you have all those weapons on offense,
and you can't play good defense. So you bring in someone, and he worked with the Bradley Chubb. I mean, you got
makes sense.
It does make sense. I mean, and you know he's going to have his own fiefdom. All he has to worry about is the defense. That's yours. We're not going to bother you with it. Just go coach him up and see how good you can make
it. That's a tough division.
That's right.
In a tough conference.
Yep.
And there are all kinds of ramifications of that move, too, because now if you're looking at the quarterback carousel and the choices that these guys are going to have to make, why would you, if you have a choice and you're a quarterback and you want to win and get to a Super Bowl, why would you ever choose an AFC team?
Good question.
Why would you ever? Okay.
It's a good question.
Aaron Rodgers, for example.
Yeah.
If you're going to have a say in your in your future, why would you go to the Jets? Oh, so you can play Fangio twice a year? So you can play the Bills twice a year? Oh, and by the way, Bill Belichick's waiting for you.
I thought he was going to Raiders. I thought he wanted to be with Devontae Adams.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Does it?
Didn't Devontae Adams say?
And I thought Derek Carr is going to Green Bay because they don't trust Jordan Love.
I didn't see that rumor.
They were just going to swap.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah. I saw that was one of the many kind of.
That would not be good for the Bears because what's going on in Green Bay is very significant. It's very significant. As somebody that I trust compared it yesterday, if Rodgers leaves the Packers, it's similar to Brady leaving the Patriots.
Mm.
And what happens after your legend leaves town?
You get rid of all offensive coordinators and have the defensive guy from the offense.
So Mike Pettine will be calling plays for the Packers next year.
All right. Let's keep the conversation going. 312-644-6767. We're going to hear from a Giants player who thinks that Sirianni is a fraud. And the response to that from an Eagles player, we'll do that next. Mullion Haw on the Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.